This is Health First with Kathy Hart, available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We have Franco Cavalieri with us today, and he's going to be explaining to us how to find curcumin, use curcumin, and get what you really need. He's got his PhD with research on nutraceutical pharmacology, and he's been working for a long time with the pathology of inflammation and inflammatory disease. He's also the founder and lead investigator at Biologic Pharma Medical Research. So welcome, Franco.
Well, thanks for having me.
It's so good to have you here today. We've got so many questions about curcumin and how is it that it's such a powerful anti-inflammatory, and it's been used for centuries, basically. But how do we find and how do we know exactly what to look for?
Well, you know, first of all, let me mention something before we go further so that there's no there's lack of clarity. So my degree, I have a Bachelor of Science in Human Nutrition, and then also my PhD degree, I'm in candidate status, which means I finished everything, I'm just waiting for dissertation.
Okay.
So I'm not allowed to really disclose, I'm not allowed to claim doctor,
okay.
Doctor status, or just, I just want to make sure that's clear.
Okay.
We're almost there.
You're way up there, almost there. Good.
to answer your question, curcumin has been a really misunderstood category. And the unfortunate thing is that there are so many different types of curcumin in the marketplace. It's really hard to differentiate between one and the other. It's kind of sad because we know with the right curcumin extract, the efficacy is unbelievable in terms of its anti-inflammatory effect. Now, this has been researched for decades. But what has been really interesting over the last 3 to 5 years is that the research has become more intensified to really understand the mechanisms and how it works in the body. And so this has then unveiled why there is so much of a variation in terms of the efficacy from one curcumin product on the shelf to another. And it's because the standardization of curcumin is all over the place. And so let me explain what I mean. You know, you'll see on a label the description of a turmeric extract with curcumin. Well, turmeric is the spice we all know we can use in cuisine, and that turmeric spice has only about 3 to 6% curcumin in it. And curcumin is the active component that provides that anti-inflammatory effect. The rest of the turmeric plant has other actives that have different activities but do not deliver that potent anti-inflammatory effect we may need for joint issues like osteoarthritis or rheumatisms or autoimmune conditions and things like that. So if you were to go to the shelf and say, I'm going to buy this curcumin product that says, you know, curcumin whatever it's called, and you take it, it may not work for you, and then you bundle up the whole category as a fraud that doesn't work.
Right.
We take that curcumin out of turmeric, the extract, we've seen in the marketplace a curcumin 95% extract, or curcumin 97%. Now we've taken that active component that has the anti-inflammatory activity out and concentrated it. So if you have 350 milligrams of curcumin that's extracted properly, you should get a pretty impactful effect on an anti-inflammatory, in terms of anti-inflammatory pharmacology. Whereas if you had 350 milligrams of turmeric, that's not going to happen because that's only 3 to 5% curcumin.
Mm-hmm. Why is there such a surge of interest in curcumin? Why is it just everybody's looking for it?
Well, I think, you know, as I said, in the last 3 to 5 years, the research has intensified to really understand the mechanism. And this is very important when it comes to science and the medicine, and whether it's natural or allopathic or pharmacological. The pharmacology itself needs to be understood. So, for example, Kathy, if you take curcumin and it works for you, and you tell someone, you know, this thing worked for me, but I'm not sure how or why, you know, the allopathic medical community and most practitioners are not really going to push it because they don't know why. There has to be some scientific mechanism that we understand so that then we can begin to further intensify its activity. So in the last 5 to 7 years, there's been a better understanding as to why. Now, you know, there's a clear picture in terms of the pharmacology, for example, that it inhibits certain proteins. You know, one's called NF-kappa-B that transcribes cytokines that end up producing the symptoms we feel with inflammation. That's clear. But what has happened over the last 2 years is we've taken this research to actually go a little bit deeper into curcumin. Now, I mentioned earlier that we know turmeric, the spice, has 3 to 6% curcumin in it.
Mm-hmm.
But if we take curcumin itself out, what we have identified is there are three different cannabinoids in curcumin extract. It gets a little confusing on one paper.
So Franco, are you speaking right into your phone? We're just losing you a little. We're going to have to go. We're having a few technical difficulties, but we'll see if we can get Franco back on the line here.
You there?
Are you there? Yeah, good. It just got a little bit fuzzy, but go ahead.
Okay, so you know, as I was saying, when we have the turmeric extract, we know that it can provide some activity, but it's 3 to 6% curcumin. If we take the curcumin out now, we have the active. But what we have begun to understand is that now, even when you have that active component at 95%, it has subconstituents in it called curcuminoids that all fluctuate, and there are three main curcuminoids. Now, what we took the liberty of doing in the Biologic Research Center is we said, hey, well, how do those three curcuminoids in that curcumin extract, how do they affect the anti-inflammatory effect we're looking for one? That's one question. The second is, if they fluctuate, and they do fluctuate from one brand to another, one batch to another, even if you buy one brand every time, that internal curcuminoid proportion will fluctuate. So if it works for you one day, it may not work the same way the next time you buy it. And so we said, well, how do we actually lock it down to make sure that each of those curcuminoids that we know function do their job at the right concentration?
Mm-hmm.
So what we discovered that curcumin 3, which is called bis-dimethoxycurcumin, it's a BDM, it's called BDMC for short, it has a very unique activity that's different than the rest of the curcuminoids.
Mm-hmm.
And it only exists at about 1% concentration, so it never really participates in providing activity for people. And what we've done is said, what if we raise it up now to allow it to serve as an anti-inflammatory like the other curcuminoids through its separate activity? And so what we've done now is discovered a new way to make curcumin work to target two different proteins in your cells to inhibit them and prevent the inflammatory cascade from occurring, not just one. So regular curcumin can inhibit one of these proteins, but the curcumin BDMC that we've discovered and patented now can inhibit two. So the interesting thing that's risen out of this is that we have a new medical discovery that shows how curcumin can be used to inhibit a second protein that's involved in a lot of serious diseases, including autoimmune conditions and conditions. I don't want to go into too much detail with indications that are specific.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, what it does is it raises the anti-inflammatory potential of curcumin by allowing a third curcuminoid in the curcumin to work its effects in conjunction with the regular curcumin. And so, what we've done is really highlighted the fact to the community, the naturopathic community, that those curcuminoids that exist in the curcumin extract all have different activities.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we can change the proportion of some of them in the curcumin extract to improve on their concentration, we can improve on the reliability. And so now we've got naturopathic doctors saying, okay, well, we have a reliable curcumin now that we know will work the same way every time. And over the last few years now, you've seen this rise in promotion, endorsement, and prescription of curcumin because of this standardization.
Right. So now it sounds to me like you've gone upstream in the inflammatory cascade and stopped the inflammation up higher. Is that correct?
Well, that's an interesting analogy. It's similar. What you're describing is quite accurate to a degree. But what happens is that if you think about it this way, we have one protein that makes cytokines, and cytokines are cytokines that we know as interleukin 1, interleukin 2.
Mm-hmm.
These are, TNF alpha is a common one. And so if we think that we have this typewriter that's writing and making all of these cytokines, and then if you somehow are able to slow down how the keys function, and that's what curcumin does. Curcumin will slow down the writing of the cytokines so that, you know, now the typewriter is working, but it's at a very slow pace. So then you feel some benefits over a day or two. Regular curcumin may take a day or two to really impose its effects because it takes time to really slow down that writing enough so that you can feel a symptomatic change. But let's say you pull the plug and you take all the electricity and the power away from this writer. It doesn't matter how fast that those hands are going on the keys. There's no power. There's no. And so what we've done is taken away the second protein, which is the actual key that turns on the first protein that makes and writes the cytokines.
Okay. So, Franco, why is there so much inflammation, and why is it so prevalent? Is there something we can also be doing to keep that inflammation down? And if not using curcumin, is there any side effects or is there any downside to keeping the inflammation down using curcumin?
Well, you know, there have not been side effects shown. There is, you know, an indication that has to be put on the label based on what Health Canada requests, and that is that curcumin can improve circulation and blood thinning. And so if you're taking blood thinning medication, it may be contraindicated. Now, overall, though, when you talk about inflammation and why is there an escalation in awareness for inflammation? Well, first of all, the research is showing more and more every single disease that we encounter, it doesn't matter which one, is propagated by a core chemistry that is inflammatory. The chemistry of inflammation is what we are trying to target with every single drug we use, close to every single drug we use to treat symptoms. And so what we've begun to understand is that we can intercept generally the inflammatory cascade. We can take the edge off of most diseases, whereas some drugs are more specific as to where they're going to target that inflammation in that pathway that you mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. Now, in the last decade or so, it's been really understood that your lifestyle, your environment, will affect the general status of your internal, what's called subclinical inflammation. So we all run around with a certain level of inflammation in our body, and you could call it fire. And for some of us, it's burning fast and burning hard. And for some of us, it's under control. The challenge is that as we get older, controlling that subclinical inflammation gets harder because our cells are not as good at regulating how the inflammation progresses. And there's a chemistry and a mechanism that's clearly understood now. And it's the same point that NF-kappa B activity tends to escalate with age. And that's one of the reasons why we tend to be stiffer. It's harder to recover from general workload, you know, and you feel that you know, lack of recovery with age. And in fact, that inflammatory cascade tends to be propagated by oxidation. So there's kind of a cyclical activity there. And so, you know, I think a product like curcumin, to take that as a countermeasure, is formidable as a preventive agent, because now you have the countermeasure to that escalation that tends to happen with age, that may be imposed upon you by a diet, even an inflammatory diet, and may be imposed on you by your environment. So, you know, we can control a lot of things like our diet and environment, but you can't control that rate of aging. And so if we can use this as a countermeasure, then we reduce the risk of other disorders and help, you know, cope with things that may be genetically predisposed.
That's fascinating, Franco. We're going to have to go to a quick break, and we'll be right back.